Sometimes, most of the time, we don't like to talk about death. But the Bible has much to say about death. We know people that died last year. We know people that died recently. And we will probably know some people that are going to die this year. And I want us to consider some thoughts from the Bible about what it has to say about death. Before we get into the lesson, though, I want to welcome everyone. We have visitors. We're glad for your presence this morning. We have children this morning, which we're glad for children. It's good to hear their sound again. I was told David I would do the scripture reading since Jim is not here this morning. I'm going to save it and bring it up later in the lesson so we can go ahead and get into our thoughts this morning. And I would like us to start in considering some things that death is not. Death is not the means of converting a wicked person into a Christian. However we die, that is how we are going to be in eternity. And death is not an extinction of man. Both the good and bad continue after death. And we understand this from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Some people think that however a person lived here on this life, if they were not a right person, once they die, they will make it to heaven. But that is not what the Bible teaches. And with that too, death is a personal, emotional topic. And I want to say up front, we all have loved ones and family that have died or will die that we know are not going to be saved. But that is out of our hands. God deals with the dead. We deal with the living. And when we get to heaven, I don't know what it will be like in regards to that. If God will remove that memory from us, I know there's going to be no pain, no sorrow, no tears. But it should be sobering to our family and friends that are not Christians that they need to do the right thing before death comes. Because death is going to come to all of us unless Christ returns first. And it should be a sobering thought to us that we need to do our duty sharing that message to others. Death is an appointment that God has made for us. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, this judgment. This is an appointment that no one will miss. We often make appointments about various things. And we change them for one reason or another. But the appointment with death is one that none of us will miss. We've got to understand that we are just passing through. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. We don't want to get too attached to earth, to the physical things here in this world, because we're just passing through. We're headed somewhere else. Bible also teaches us that death is both certain and it is also uncertain. When we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, death is certain to come. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Physical death is going to come to all of us. It's certain. What is uncertain about death? The time. None of us know when death is going to come to us. James said in chapter 4, whereas ye do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Life is so short. And we hurry so much trying to do everything we can, trying to climb that ladder, trying to get more money, trying to do this and do that. And then It's like a vapor. You step outside on a cold morning and you blow a breath of air and you see a vapor and it disappears. That's what our life is reduced to in this physical body. Well, the Bible also teaches us that death is the end of our labors that will be rewarded. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So when we think about life in this way, the time that we are here is when we are to be working. When we come to the end of life, that is going to be our night. Night is coming. Death then is night when we cannot work anymore. Back to Luke 16, the rich man, he waited too late to do some things that he should have done. He waited too late to obey God. He waited too late to tell his brothers about the gospel. And he couldn't change things because there is a great gulf fixed. And friends, again, when we die, our eternity is sealed at that point. Some people have tried to defy death by doing different things. Some people have thought that they could come back from death. Nobody can do that because God controls death. God has power over death. The Lord will raise the dead. John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. And there are several places in the Bible where it speaks of God speaking and the dead coming forth from the grave. And you think about the power of God's word. When is the first time we heard about that? Back in Genesis, when God said, let there, and whatever he said, let there be, it happened because of the power of his word. And we get so wrapped up in our life and worried about our death, and God controls it all. He's just going to speak, and all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Everyone is going to hear our Lord when he comes. Something else the Bible teaches us about death, it's the last enemy. Death is the last enemy of man to be conquered by death. And we all, to some point or another, fear death. The older I get, the less I fear death. I really don't fear it. But it's to some point, we all fear death because it's an uncertainty. But death is the last enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And why don't I fear death? Because if I am living right, if I am living according to how God has instructed us to live, I know that death isn't the end of things. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But by the power of God, our spirits will be raised. Our spirits are eternal. And so often we see death as an end of things, but it is not. Death is a departure. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And please read these verses with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who loved his appearing. So it's a departure. The time of my departure is at hand. You think about a ship that is in a harbor, setting out to sail to a distant destination. You depart. You leave. You think about people in the Old Testament in the first century, nomads, people that wandered, people that didn't live in houses like we live in, but they lived in tents. And they would take their tent, pitch their tent, they would drive the tent pegs down into the ground. When it's time to leave, what would they do? They would pull those tent pegs up and move on. And that's a word picture we need to have in our minds. As we are pilgrims here on this earth, we don't want to drive our tent pegs too deep into this world. It's easy to do that, but what happens? We're going to have to pull up our tent pegs and depart. We're going to head on. My departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I love this verse, and I repeat it often, because in this short verse, Paul appeals to the three major nations at the time. I have fought the good fight. The Romans are going to think of that, the Roman soldiers. I have finished the race. The Greeks with the Olympics, they're going to relate to that. I have kept the faith. The Jews kept the faith. Paul said, I've done everything. I am ready to depart. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And friends, that's another reason why I don't worry about loved ones that have gone on that I believe are not going to make it to heaven. Because God is judge. And how is he described? The Lord, the righteous judge. The Lord is not going to make any mistakes on the day of judgment. And that is in his hands. And again, we need to be focused on ourselves to make sure that we will be able to receive this crown also. So life is a departure from this world. It's a departure from this world as explained in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5. Also, they were afraid of height and of tares in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Again, as I get older, there are less things in life that are an attraction. There are more things that are a terror, more things afraid of heights. When I was younger, I used to get in one of those bucket trucks and be 40 feet up in the air. I don't like going up a stepladder now. Things change as you get older. And we're getting ready to depart. And you stop and think about that too. I've heard people say, why do we have all of these aches and pains? Why do things get harder as we get older? Friends, if they didn't get harder, we wouldn't want to leave. We would want to stay here and keep living in this life. And God is giving us like a new reminder every year, a different ache and pain. It's all just temporary. We don't want to get used to this life. So death is a departure. It's a departure from this world. It's a departure from the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. If it returns to God, that's where it came from. And our spirit, death must take place for our spirit to return to God. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So death serves, death is a vehicle. Death is a vehicle that serves as transportation to take us from this world into the next world. If we go back to Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse 16, when they journeyed from Bethel and when there was a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored into childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Her soul departed, she died. And it's necessary that we put off this physical body of flesh and blood. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at beginning at verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?' The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." We can't continue in these bodies. It's just a matter of time. And again, that time is uncertain. And again, if we are living as God has instructed us, death is a gain. Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Again, Revelation 21:4, "God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And again, do we look forward to going to heaven to see the streets of gold and the pearly gates? Or do we look forward to going to heaven because of that relationship we have with our Father and how He is going to take care of us? And there won't be any tears there to wipe away. This is a figure of speech. There's not going to be any death or pain. There's not going to be anything that tempts us there. We're going to rest from our labors of fighting temptation. But the only way that we can get there, unless the Lord comes first, is first we have to die. Death is not the end of man's influence. Revelation 14:13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" How many people do we know that have died, that we have fond memories of them because of the works that they did? Just because a person is gone, his influence... Influence is so strong, and that's why we need to be careful to have the right kind of influence, because after we are gone, our influence is going to live on. death is sure. Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And really, you can put any time in there, and it is just going to be a short time. Whether 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, it's just short. Job 14, 1 and 2, the man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. The Bible uses different things to illustrate the brevity of life, the vapor. We're like a flower that fades away. He flees like a shadow. You see a shadow and then it's gone. And Samuel, it talks about her life is like taking water and pouring it out on the ground, and then we can't get it back. That's so quick. And something that was everything is then gone. But friends, we've got to remember too that death is in the good interest of man. Just stop and think about that. It was not good for man to live in a state of sin and rebellion. That is why man was driven from the garden. God did not intend for this earth to be our eternal home. Ecclesiastes 12:7, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, and again, that's not if, that's since, we know this. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, is that the end of it? No. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So why should we be sad because of death? Why should we fear death? Well, we should fear it if we have sinned and separated ourselves from God and God has turned His face from us. But death to the righteous person is a joy. We can go to claim our reward. And stop and think about it. You see people doing everything to try to prolong their life in a place where God did not intend for us to live. And I don't want to minimize anybody's emotions or feelings over the loss of a loved one, because we miss them. We miss them. I miss my mother and our mother and father. I miss my brother every day, and I talk about him. And I was closer to him than I was to Boyd, because with me being the youngest, when they all left, then Neil and I, for about 20 years, we lived across a cornfield and could see each other and talk to each other all the time. I miss him. And I don't believe he's going to make it to heaven. Can I do anything about that? Can't do a thing about it. It's in the hands of God. But that's part of life. We were not intended to live on this earth. God has prepared another place for us. And these bodies are not adapted to heaven. We have to shed these bodies so that we can make it to heaven. And He'll give us a new body. A new body. We go through our announcement sheet, and we have people here this morning because they aren't here this morning because of health difficulties. There won't be a sheet like that in heaven. We won't have bodies like that. We'll be worshiping God and thanking Him for everything that He's done for us. Philippians 3. 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven. Again, that's back the kingdom of God. Do you want to be a kingdom in this world, or do you want to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, where our citizenship is in heaven? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Is that going to be hard for God to do? Not at all. When He can speak the universe into existence, He can change our bodies into that perfect body. But again, death is also a warning. 2 Corinthians 6:2-4, He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friends, there might be somebody here this morning that isn't prepared to die. You don't want to put it off. You want to make your peace with God. You want to repent and turn your life to God and do those things that He would have us do. We want to make our life right with God, and we want to make our life right with our fellow man. We're taught to love our neighbor. We're taught to take care of one another. And with this too, as I said, we can't do anything about the people that are gone. And some of us here will go to several funerals this week. But what we can do is for everyone that's left. And we should not waste a single day. I want to read a poem. This was written by Lee Hodges. And she says, "Closed eyes can't see the white roses. Cold hands can't hold them, you know. Beneath that is still cannot gather, or breath that is still cannot gather the fragrance that sweet from them blows. Death, with a peace beyond dreaming, the children of earth doth endow. Life is the time that we can help them, so give them the flowers now. Here are the struggles and strivings, here are the cares and the tears. Now is the time to be smoothing the frowns and furrows and fears. What to closed eyes are kind sayings? What to a hushed heart is a deep vow? Naught can avail after parting, so give them the flowers now. Just a kind word or a greeting, just a warm grasp or a smile, these are the flowers that will lighten the burdens for many a mile. After the journey is over, what is the use of them? How can they carry them who must be carried? Oh, give them the flowers now. Blooms from the happy heart's garden, plucked in the spirit of love, blooms that are earthly reflections of flowers that blossom above. Words cannot tell what a measure of blessings such gifts will allow to dwell in the lives of so many, so give them the flowers now." Friends, death is certain. The time is uncertain. We have responsibilities to God. We have responsibilities to each other. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of death. It's humbling, though, when I think about standing before God as a judge, before the Lord, and I think, have I done everything that I can do? And I have to think that for myself, but each of you has to be thinking that for yourself. Are you ready? What if today was your last day? What is there that you can do to help others, to spread the gospel? Friends, today is the day of salvation. If there's anyone here that needs to make correction in your life, don't put it off, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. If you want to make your life right with Christ, why not do it today? Why not do it right now? We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Jesus is 10.